The front wall of my fourth grade math class has been emblazoned into my mind for over 30 years. Because across the wall was a phrase that was painted on the wall that said, "Success comes in cans. Failure comes in can'ts." Did you hear that? Success comes in cans. Failure comes in can'ts. You see, we live our lives by rules, some inherited, some given to us, some we've written our own, in which we live our lives by. And in terms of the kingdom of God and God's call to the fullness of our life, sometimes the simple difference between success and failure is I can or I can't. And you see, our scripture today, Jesus in the synagogue healing this woman of an infirmity of 18 years, is a lot about the rules. Who makes them? Who breaks them? Who needs to keep them? And so on. And so we have Jesus in the Sabbath, in the synagogue, on the Sabbath day, the day of rest, sees a woman. The woman does not ask to be healed, but Jesus heals her. Now, the Sabbath is a day of rest, and apparently healing people on the Sabbath was a no-no. Apparently healing was work. And so the religious leader, the synagogue leader, gets very upset. But in a very loving, passive-aggressive way, rather than calling Jesus out on it, he yells to the crowd and says, "There are 6 days for you to come and be healed. Come on those days. Don't come on the Sabbath." But Jesus turns the table on him and says, "Even you on the Sabbath, the rest day, feed your animals. Why cannot this child of Abraham be healed on this same day?" And in layman's terms, the crowd goes wild. You see, we're in the Gospel of Luke, and it's iconic to remember that at the beginning of Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus goes to the synagogue on Sunday. He asks for the scroll, opens it up, and from the book of Isaiah, he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free." And then he says in the midst of that synagogue, "Before you today, this scripture has been fulfilled." Jesus is saying, "I'm here to change the rules. We will offer good news to the poor, proclamation of release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and freedom for the oppressed." So Jesus is changing the rules. Now let's take a step back here and don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not calling for Christian anarchy. Because it's important to remember that the rules are given to us mostly by people who love us. And they are appropriate for a certain time and season. The laws of the Torah were given to the Jewish people in the desert, and they guided them for centuries, if not millennia. And they were good because they were the laws that were needed at that time for the people of Israel to become God's chosen people. But just like every time my 5-year-old daughter and 2-year-old son crossed the road with me, I forced them to hold my hand. Now, man, I hope in 20 years they still want to hold my hand when I cross the street with them. But the truth is, it won't be necessary. That rule will no longer need to be a rule. And so we are not those same people. And so it's helpful to remember that Jesus says in the Gospels that he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. But what he meant is that he's not there or here to follow the law to the letter, but that his presence and his way, following him, consumes the law, encompasses the law, and so that in following Jesus, indirectly, the law is fulfilled. And so you and I have to be flexible. We have to acknowledge that God has given us a way of life, but we may not know the fullness of that way of life. We have to be open to the glory of God now, to the miracle that is Jesus' grace. Because the sad thing is, if we're not open to it, if we're so stuck on the rules of this is how it needs to be done, we'll actually miss out on that grace. The synagogue leader, who witnesses the miraculous act of God, actually misses out on experiencing that miraculous grace because he's so upset that it's happening outside of the rules as he knows it. So you and I today can miss out on God's grace and glory, God's transformative spirit, because we're so caught up in, well, that's not how it's supposed to be. And let me make a clear point as well. You know, we have legalistic laws, government laws. Those are good. We need to follow those for community's sake. But I'm really talking about the laws that have been given to us, the rules that we've been given either culturally, family systematically, or even by ourselves. And so let's look for a second at some of the rules that we follow as an Episcopal denomination that may be keeping us from experiencing the glory of God. Now remember, we're having fun right now. In the Episcopal Church, it's sort of a given that we love the way we worship, that our worship's very important to us, but sometimes we can get so caught up in how we worship, we lose sight of who we worship. Now again, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm, as an Episcopalian, I love good worship. But the question is the worship the focus or is Jesus the focus? So let me give you a fun, egregious example from my last church. We just started the summer worship series, and after the first Sunday service, this gentleman came up to me, and he was incensed. He was so angry that we had changed the Lord's Prayer. His words, his energy. How dare we change the Lord's Prayer? And I was confused, so I began talking with him. And through his frustration, I realized he was talking about we'd moved from the King James Version of the Lord's Prayer to the modern version. You know, our Father in heaven, your will be done versus thy will. And he was furious that we'd moved to this modern language and that how dare we change it. And he was considering not coming back for the entire summer until we went back to the King James Version. And I had to explain to him that this is an approved version of the book of the Episcopal Church, of the Lord's Prayer. It's in the Book of Common Prayer in 1979. And in fact, I kind of jabbed him a little bit, it's actually closer to the actual meaning than the King James Version is. But he would have none of it. He was so caught up in his version of the Lord's Prayer that he was missing out on simply praying a prayer that was a part of who we are as Episcopalians. So we got to watch out getting caught up in how we worship versus who we worship. Another rule in the Episcopal Church that may be holding us back sometimes is, how many of you have ever been in a committee meeting or a vestry meeting or an outreach program, and somebody comes up with an idea and you hear one of two phrases? Well, that's not how we do things around here. Or, well, we've never done it that way before. What we're saying there is, well, those are outside of the rules of who we are. And a subtle version of this is also when you hear the phrase, well, we tried that 20 years ago, but it didn't work. These are all examples of we've gotten so stuck in what it means to be Episcopalian in whatever aspect this is, that we're not open to possibly understanding God in a new way that is still Episcopalian. And finally, the last one, there seems to be, although not across the board, and in the South this is a little different, but there seems to sometimes be a real aversion to the word evangelism in the Episcopal Church. I've actually heard Episcopalians say how proud they are that they're not evangelical. Now, the sadness with that is that evangelical simply means someone who brings the good news. I mean, you and I sit here on a Sunday morning, I'm hoping you are here because you want to be, that this is a meaningful experience for you, and that you get something out of it, that you were reminded that you are part of something bigger than yourself. So in our world, evangelism would simply be telling others about what you care about, in particular, your participation in the Jesus way of life as an Episcopalian. Did you know in the company Microsoft, the technological giant, the actual staff person or position whose job it is to go out into the world and drum up new business, do you know what they call that position? The evangel. If Microsoft isn't afraid of the term, why should we be? Now, I'm not telling you to go out and stand on the street corner and wag your Bible at people, unless Jesus is telling you that. What I'm telling you is that be proud of who you are and who we are, and don't be afraid if God calls upon you to share it with someone else, however that may manifest itself truthfully to you and the Episcopal Church. That can be our evangelism. All right, I want to take it from another angle now, this idea of can and can't. I know there have been times in my life where I haven't ventured into something, or I haven't risked something, or I have said no to something that really would have been good for me and me stepping into the fullness of who I am, but I didn't because a voice either outside of me or inside of me said, I can't. And I think that's got to be a universal truth. There are times where we feel like we are being called to step into something larger, to become who we truly are, and we don't because we hear a voice, ours or someone else's, that says, I can't. I was scared to death of having kids because I knew I wouldn't be a good father. Who am I to judge that? I'm a great father today, but you know what it took? It took me risking stepping into fatherhood and having God tell me who I was as a father, not me who I was. Because it's not important what I think about myself. It's also not important what someone else thinks about you. The only opinion that matters is God's. So the next time you hear yourself saying the word, I can't, or we can't, ask yourself, well, why not? Who's telling me that? Because as Paul says, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Now, freedom in Christ, it's not the freedom to do anything, but it is the freedom to do everything, to become who we truly are, and to manifest the greatness of the kingdom of God here on earth, including freeing ourselves. That is the invitation. That is success in the kingdom of God. Our failures will come in I can't. Our success will come I can, because I am Christ's and I'm a part of the body of Christ.